Blog Talk Radio.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate.
Good evening. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Hollis signing on again on a Tuesday, and I am back. Sorry for the interruption. The corporate world seems to be giving me a pain in my neck and eating up all my time. But I am grateful that I am here. I hope everyone can hear me. I got my mic turned on, so you guys let me know if you can't hear. So, okay, good. Guys, it is a very, very, very interesting election season, and Obama is pulling out he is just constantly going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, trying to find something that will hit the wall and stick. He is trying his darndest to establish something that will connect with the American people, and it's not happening. I mean, I heard today some of the letters he's sending out for fundraising. He's begging. He's been outraised for 2 months in a row. That does nothing more than tell him how much trouble he's in. When Mitt Romney is drawing in 117 or 107, whatever it was, million dollars in a month, and he's getting 71, okay? That is saying, we are not happy with you, and your fanny is going to go away. That is telling him that his message isn't hitting home. It's not resounding with the blooming person one. All those small donations that he was constantly getting from the internet and from people on, you know, I mean, he even set up, and he did it again, you could text guarantee in $5. People are not doing that in the manner in which they were last year or the last election cycle in 2008. They're not even close. They really don't care. Okay? They understand that economically, I mean, I hear the pundits and the talking heads talking about this is not going to be an election over finances and over the economy. Give me a break. Bill, I'll be right with you. Give me a break. That is exactly what this election is going to be. I am so tired of hearing the pundits try to dictate what this election is all about. Okay? Labor Department. Layoffs are up and salaries aren't rising. No kidding. Nobody's making any money. How are they going to raise salaries? How are they going to do that? They can't. It ain't happening. They cannot do it. People are suffering, and he just continues to try. I mean, have you heard the latest on the food stamp thing? How so-and-so is so fit because she's getting food stamps and eating right? Give me a break. What happened to pride in this nation? What happened to people taking care of themselves, independence, being a self-motivated individual taking care of you and your own? Give me a break. Look at Sally. She's in such great shape because she eats right because she's got food stamps. When in the hell did we start? Come on. The government doesn't take care of us. We take care of ourselves. And it's become okay if you're, you know, it's fine if you have to have food stamps to survive. That's okay today. It's not an issue of get out there and make it happen yourself anymore. It's just not. Let somebody else take care of you. Where are the real men in the world? That's what I want to know. Where are the real men in the world that have pride in themselves and in their family and want to take care of them? Goodness, it's just amazing. It's okay because Sally's getting food stamps. She's going to stay healthy. Let Sally go find a damn job. Grow a garden. I don't care what. But why should the taxpayer be feeding her? Lord, this whole phone system's going to blow up. I'm gonna call you guys in. Okay? And I'm going to keep ranting. So you're just going to have to listen. You know, you can go to Family and Children's Services and apply for food stamps. They'll give you pamphlets on what a good diet is. But guys, come on. You could go buy cases upon cases of soda, chips, junk food. There's no limitation to what you buy at the grocery store. Let me tell you, the only thing you can't buy with a food stamp card, hot meals. You can go buy cold subs at Walmart. You can buy cold subs at the Quick Trip, the gas station. You can use your food stamp card at the gas station to buy anything that is cold. Donuts. Slurpees. For God's sake, for those who don't know what that is, it's like an icy. I grew up in Seattle, and that's what they call them. Kyra put on their dog and cat food. I didn't even realize that. Toilet paper. You can buy non-sticking spray to cook in the stove with that stuff, with food stamps. You can get anything in your kitchen. Come on, people. What if they had some guy, some Democrat from Louisiana on today, these people who get these cards that are worth money, that are cash, and she's trying to defend them going to the liquor store with it. They want to, in New York, they want to stop them from using them at an ATM to draw out cash so they can't go buy liquor and go to strip clubs. But they go to this stupid grocery store with these cards and they buy whatever they want, no matter what it is. They go to Walmart and buy God knows what because it's just like a debit card and get cash back because they can't use a debit card in certain states for alcohol and cigarettes. So they just ring out with everything but the alcohol, the cigarettes, and the stuff that they can't use the card for, and they draw out cash and pay for it in cash right there in the line.
Oh, God.
Why are we supporting this? It's just like an ATM card. You can go to the frickin' ATM with this card that the government gives you and they reload it and get cash out and go stay drunk for a month. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. And you got state congressmen and senators trying to keep it there, arguing and fighting against the change of the law so that people can't do that. It just amazes me. It just blows my mind. I mean, because the food stamps used to come out in little packets, you know, you tear them off and they had denominations on them. No, they use debit cards nowadays. You have a PIN number. You swipe your card, you put in your PIN. And it's like a family of six, seven, gets almost $800 a month. Almost $800 a month. Now, there are folks out there who work every day, and I think Yola's 100% right. Okay? All right, let me tell you this. You want some sad truth, guys? If you're a private first class or a corporal in the United States Army, your income is low enough you qualify for food stamps. Your income is low enough as a soldier over in Iraq, Afghanistan, fighting for this country, that your wife qualifies for food stamps. Tell me we can't take care of our soldiers better than that. Come on. Tell me that. And Kyra's right. There are people out there who sell that card for cash. No, you don't have to have an ID to use it. All you got to know is somebody's PIN number. They can hand you your card, and you can go buy all the groceries you want with their card as long as you have their PIN number. It's that easy. And this administration is promoting that as it should be for everybody. Sally's healthy because she can go buy groceries at the store with food stamps. You know, you used to hear about the women in the projects, especially here in Atlanta. Okay? Now listen, you guys can think whatever you want of me. I'm not a racist. I'm not a bigot. Okay? Sorry, that's just not true. Call me what you want when I'm done. But there are women in Atlanta, and the state legislature in Georgia tried to limit this for a reason. But they have anywhere from 2 to 10 children. Because the more children they had, the more benefits they would get. Every child meant several hundred dollars more a month in food stamps and welfare money. And they just kept having youngins because they kept getting more money. And then 90% of these people were black. But you know what, guys? Let me tell you the sad part. They drove Cadillacs, Escalades. I know one lady who had 6 kids and she drove a Jaguar.
Oh my God.
Okay. That's the way the system works. She drove around in a Jaguar with 6 kids. Worked and made money. That's a pay for the Jaguar. You know what a Jaguar payment is, folks? A starting price of a Jaguar is $700 a month. You will not finance a Jaguar anywhere in this country, even if it's zero interest, for less than $700 a month.
Wow.
And that's happening every day by the hundreds of thousands of people. We got to stop it. And Kyra's right. That was in the 80s and 90s. It's worse now. That exact thing across this nation. His administration wants to give out more and more and more federal aid, that he wants the society to become totally dependent upon government. Is that how we want to live? I am so sick of it. Now let me get on this one with Romney. That moron, and I didn't say Mormon, I said moron, get off of it and start attacking Obama at the root of the problem. Just get this kid's glove garbage off. Quit this sweet talk behind your stump speeches and start putting some fire in them. Start acting like you want the job. What negative thing has anybody heard him say about Obama? I think it's a failed policy. Everybody knows that. Let's call a spade, stupid, stupid. Let's call a ploy and a sham a sham.
They're afraid to go after Obama.
They're afraid
of being called a racist or something else. That's why they won't go after him. They're cowards. And Mitt Romney is the biggest coward out there.
His campaign is doing what they're doing purposely because they're afraid that they're going to get negative poll results if they start attacking Obama for anything. Well, you know what? He's going to get worse poll results if he doesn't start getting the truth out about who and what this man is.
It's not attacking someone when you're telling the truth. If you expose all the stuff, the lies, the bullshit, everything else that Obama and his administration has done, that's not attacking. That's exposing the truth. That is telling the truth. And if Romney can't stand up and tell the truth, he ain't who we need.
Well, tell me this. Tell me this. Have you heard him once? Have you heard him even one time go after Obama like he did Santorum and Gingrich?
No.
Why can't he do the same thing to Obama and crucify him in the same manner he did Gingrich and the same thing he did to Santorum?
Well, if we can't find someone who will go after all these, we got to have someone who will go after all these negative things about Obama. And if Romney can't do it because he's afraid of stepping on some toes and making some people mad or being called a racist, well, then you're not what we need, because the truth needs to be brought out. Obama has used race warfare as a weapon, the same as he has class warfare, gender warfare, age warfare. He is dividing and conquering. And until someone steps out, tells the truth, and puts it right out there in front, Obama is using race as a weapon. No one's being racist. He is being racist because anytime you disagree with him, he throws that out there. That makes him the racist.
It's got to change. If Romney is going to take him out, he has got to get on the stick and start showing who this guy is, or it's not going to happen.
He had no problem attacking Gingrich or Santorum or anybody else. He was probably behind the Cain attack. But when it comes to Obama, it's like all of a sudden he has become a woman or a sissy or something. He's afraid to attack Obama, to expose the lies, to expose the race warfare, the class warfare, and all the other things. He is afraid because he thinks it'll give him a bad name. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're getting a bad name, Romney, amongst the other people, because we look at you as a coward and a sissy.
Hello.
Hey, this is Kyra.
Hi, Kyra.
Hey, I have a idea. When you guys calm down a little bit, I'll tell you what my idea is.
Dude, I'm not riled up yet.
Go ahead.
Now, remember when Carter ran? I mean, when Carter was president and Reagan ran, Reagan didn't down Carter. He was just saying how he would change things. People are getting tired of Obama bashing Bush. It was Bush's fault this and Bush's fault that and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The Republicans are not going to do any good keep bashing Obama and have Obama keep bashing Bush. Keep playing the blame game is not going to solve anything.
No, but this political environment is so different than when Reagan ran.
But hold up. But we have to make something. Already know what Obama is. We already know what he is. Keep bashing us over the head doesn't change it. We have to have solid leadership and what they're going to do instead of playing wishy-washy, because that's all Romney's doing now is playing, oh, I don't agree with that policy. Okay, what are you going to do about it? And finger up the pardon expression ass. I'm sorry, that's not going to solve the problem either. You have to have definitive plans. How are you going to change it? Because the blame game is not working.
Well, you can sure point out his economic failures, his job failures, his failures, his failures of security, his failures in immigration.
Okay.
These are things you should be pointing out, and you should be putting out there in the front for the people to see.
But then he has to have a plan how to fix it.
Well,
okay.
There, I'm going to be honest with you.
Is,
the GOP is just as much at fault for the state this country is in as anybody. Because
right.
It was under the Bushes and under Clinton and these others that they started promoting Agenda 21. You cannot take either one of the Bushes out of that. They were involved with Agenda 21 and still are.
I understand
it is the GOP
that.
Establishment that is pushing the same ideology and the same message as the liberals.
I didn't
is,
say that
they have
weren't.
Control.
I didn't say that they weren't. All I said was, you want Romney to slam Obama, that's all well and good, but Obama's slamming Bush. Bush is slamming Clinton before that. The blame game is
Obama
not solving.
Obama is slamming Romney with lies, and the media just keeps pushing the lies.
I'm not advocating negative garbage. I'm advocating him pointing out the reality.
Sure.
The reality
okay,
of what the failures of this administration. He's not even doing that. He won't even point out the...
But
he
the
does
thing
it
is
in,
why,
in such a meaty-mouthed manner.
Right,
so, his message
is
so weak. There's no fire in it.
I understand that. I understand that. But we have to have somebody willing to stand up, say what's wrong, and come up with a different plan to fix it. That's what Kane was trying to do. And he got slammed.
By Romney.
Kane shot himself in the foot. By
well,
I didn't.
His garbage. He should have cleaned up his mess before he ran.
I understand that, but we need to have, in order to have a good campaign, you need a leader, whoever it is. Right now it's Romney and Obama combating each other now, but you have to have people strong enough to say what they're going to do to fix it. Obama has said everything he has done in the last 4 years. He said it during his campaign, but no one believed that the change is going to happen. And I know I didn't vote for him because I actually wrote in Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, and that was my fault. But I didn't feel comfortable with McCain either. We have to have a leader comfortable in making the hard decisions and hold the stiff road. Until we have that, we're not going to get America back.
No, we're not.
Well, I'm going to
and
be
that's
honest.
That's where I sit. Pointing the finger and not have a plan how to fix it, it's not going to fix the problem either.
I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to be honest with you. Romney is going to do the same thing. He is going to hand us over to the power of a global elite.
Just hopefully slower, I know. But I agree with you on that. In my heart of hearts, Romney is not the man for the job. But there's no one else strong enough to go up against Obama, and I don't even think Romney's strong enough, but that's my personal opinion. I think we're going to have another 4 years of Obama.
There were people strong enough, but the GOP establishment fought against them, and they are still fighting against them because they won't bow under to the agenda the GOP establishment is following. Why do you think the GOP never stood up when Obama violated the Constitution? Not one. Did you see any one of them come out and say, we ain't doing this, you're going against the Constitution? There are a handful a handful in Congress, in the Senate, who are actually doing what they were elected to do. All the rest of them are following the same agenda. And until you can change the power in the Senate, the power in the Congress, the power in the states, and on the local levels, you're not going to change nothing.
That's correct.
So how do we
I think the GOP has gave us the last two times have gave us the weakest Republican on the planet. First it was lame McCain, and now it's lame-ass Romney. He might be a good businessman, but the country is all about business. It's about a lot of other things besides making money.
I understand that, but you're asking Romney to point out the faults of from Obama. The problem is
the truth.
Unless
the truth.
I understand that, but unless you have a plan to fix the problem, pointing something else is not going to help matters much either, because it's just putting more negativity into the mix. I'm not saying it's right not to say anything, but I'm not saying it's wrong without having a plan to stop the, pardon expression, bullshit, crap. I can't read Romney's mind. I don't know what he has and what he thinks to change it. I know if I was running, what I would do, but I'm not running. I don't even want to be in the political arena.
Well, I agree with you there. I hate politics. I hate having to be in the position I'm in. But I'm fighting for my children and my grandchildren's futures. And I cannot see sitting back. Romney needs to put out some plans. He needs to say something. Because otherwise, he's just handing this election to Obama.
Well, that right now, I'm sorry to say this, guys, and I hope I'm wrong. I don't think there's going to be an election, first of all. If there is an election and Obama loses, I think there's going to be martial law that Obama creates that he'll never leave office. And we're still stuck with Obama.
I don't think he'll get away with that. Sorry. I just don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think he'll get away with it, but I think he's going to try it.
If he does, that's fine, but I don't think there's any way in the world that he'll get away with that. Not going to happen.
Well, there's a lot of things I didn't think, Hollis. I didn't think we'd have this immigration thing keep coming back and coming back and coming back after the American people rejected it and rejected it and rejected it. Now we have an administration that thinks that they are above the law and they can just change laws on any whim they have. And we see that he's given them amnesty. He is now removing Border Patrol from offices. He's just ignored the law. And in fact, he is aiding and abetting the breaking of the law.
Right. That's where Congress
Where is our Congress? Where are our representatives?
Not one is standing up for it. And that includes Ron Paul, Alan West, and even Rand Paul, for that matter. I'm sorry, but they're the better of the people that are in there actually doing something, fighting the establishment, but they're still not doing anything.
Well,
they know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. And they're not doing anything.
Well, therefore, how can we distinguish one party from the other?
You can't.
Let me say this. Okay? Linda's got a point. Okay? The elites out there are not going to let Obama declare martial law and take total control over this nation. They have too much invested, too much at stake to allow such to happen. It's not gonna. It's not
okay,
gonna.
But our
not
troops
the plan,
are
Paul.
Not here. Our troops
plan
are not
the
here.
Hand.
They're all abroad.
No. We have the lady. We are the largest army the earth has ever known, right here on our soil. We dwarf our own military. We can put 30 million armed people. That's 10%. 30 million armed people out there. There is no military on the face of this earth could touch that.
I understand that.
What
but
you're watching with Obama. Obama's not going to end up having power. He is going to be handing the power over to the global elite, and he will be their spokesperson. That's what the Lost Treaty is about. That's what the Small Arms Treaty is about. That's what Agenda 21 is about. It is handing the power to the global elite over the United States and the world.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I'm hoping it don't.
It's not going to happen, folks.
I hope not, but let me, I'm just saying, hold your guns and hold on to your pants and fight for your country the best way you can, because the people that we have in the office right now are not doing it.
No.
Yeah.
We're going to have to fight piece by piece. And community by community, and then go from there, try to get our country back. Because right now, the way it's going now, we're not making it.
Yep.
And that's how I see it.
Obama can declare whatever he chooses, but I'm telling you, it's not going to happen that we don't have an election and all of that. It's not going to happen.
I hope you're wrong. I hope you're right that we will have an election. I hope Obama will honor what is the law of the land, but he hasn't done so yet.
Well, you got to realize that the same major global bankers are backing both candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Until we can change that ideology of the establishment of the GOP, and that's going to take some doing. But we're headed that direction when the American people wake up and start standing up and start putting their voices out there. We're heading in the right direction that way, but it's going to take more. Nothing frustrates me more than to realize that even if 30 million people's awake, that means that there's another 320 million who aren't.
That's true.
Now, this nation will turn itself upside down and inside out if Obama tries that. I'm telling you, Linda may be right. It may be a total revolution, but this nation is not going to allow that to happen.
No, I hope that
it ain't going to happen.
Well, I hope that America does and the people stand up for what they believe in, because right now we sure don't have the people in Washington to do it.
No,
you're right,
we don't.
Fire every single one of them.
Yep, all
I
of
agree.
Them.
We need to fire them all. We do. We need to. We should have fired them all a long time ago.
Yeah, 10 years
but
ago.
But we can't make that happen until we get enough people there to make that happen, and we don't have them.
And we can't do that until we educate and put the truth out there and the people actually read and see the truth. And when you have media pushing lies out there and you have organizations on the web that will shut down any opposition to Obama, you know, it's hard to get the truth out there. But we know the media is not going to do it. They've already proven that they won't do it. So it becomes each of us as individuals to try to
right.
be Breitbart's and spread the research and find the truth. It's up to us to bet Obama. It's up to us to bet Mitt Romney. The one thing, there are things like today, Obama criticizing Romney needs to, you know, bring out some more of his tax statements. Well, then why don't you bring out some of your stuff?
Because he never filed.
Under, well,
sorry.
Because all his stuff is locked up and sealed and stuff, you know. Yeah, he's complaining about somebody else may have secret tax return. Well, I want to see your college transcripts.
He doesn't have anything. That's why he's disbarred. Come on, guys. And Michelle got disbarred because of fraud. Come on now.
Yeah. Well, look, we have people sitting in Congress. Charlie Rangel, prime example. How many times has he been brought up on tax fraud? And he's still sitting in Congress.
Still there. And he's still here. Yes.
We need to, I'll be honest, I believe that our electeds should be held to a higher standard than us.
Oh, absolutely.
And to have elected who are criminals. And Charlie Rangel's a criminal. Kim Kuytner is a criminal. Anybody who does taxes is a criminal. They wouldn't give you the benefits that they gave Rangel and Kuytner. You'd be in jail.
Okay, what about, remember about all those people writing bad checks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
You and I would be sitting in jail.
Arrested for DUI or drug possession.
Right.
Well, we've talked about this many times before. The Congress has insulated themselves from any law issue. And we as the people have let them get away with doing just that. They've insulated themselves from the legal issues that you and I have to deal with on a daily basis. And we've let them do it.
We need to fix it and I'm sorry, but we the people need to go a little faster and a little bit stronger than just the election. We need to be staying up a lot further and pushing a lot harder. I don't know what the answer is. I beat myself over the head every day trying, you know, I'm helping two friends do their blog talk radio. I'm putting up blogs. I'm doing research. I mean, I'm supposed to be working, trying to make a living, and I'm trying to do more of the political end because that saving my country is just as important as me making a dollar here.
Well, if you don't save your country, you probably won't have a job.
Right.
So, you know, you are looking out for your job. But I agree with you. I don't know what's left, but I know that I cannot quit trying. I cannot just lay down and give up. That makes me less a person. That makes me someone that I'm not. I've never been one to sit back and shut up when wrong was being done. And we're seeing wrong done every day by our elected. We're seeing wrong being perpetrated by a media that's catering to that elected. You know, we just see so much. Today, when I read the deal about him wanting to close down some Border Patrol agencies, you know, places and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, just beyond me, it's like, you know, why do people not understand that you cannot just leave your border open and just keep taking in people and taking in people and taking in people? You don't have enough jobs for your own people. You bring all these other people here, then they go on the entitlement programs because there's no jobs for them either.
Right.
You're redundantly killing this country, and it's being done for no other reason I can think of. It's being done on purpose.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Bill.
Tell me how a Muslim gets elected in this country.
What was that guy's name in Congress, the black guy that's a Muslim? He's spouting about the madrasas. I can't remember his name, but...
Andre Carson.
Okay, yeah, well,
he's from northern Indiana, around Indianapolis somewhere. He's in his last term, I can guarantee you that. Just like Richard Lugar, they will throw him out. Keith Ellison, another Muslim. How does a Muslim get elected to be to represent America in Congress? Islam is totally anti-American. Islam is anti-Constitution, and it's anti-God.
It's also anti-infidel. Guess who's in that group? Yeah, it's horrible. I know. And we've had instances here in San Diego, which downtown San Diego, which is very liberal. And we just had one of my guys here who's been fighting against illegal immigration, Jeff Schwick. You may have seen his name on Facebook. He's involved in SoCal Patriots for the last 9 years. He's been, like, doing everything he can to put the kibosh and to uphold the laws. And, you know, Escondido's got a great program, and he's been supporting that where they're actually enforcing the laws quite like Arizona does, like Sheriff Joe does. And there was an incident in one of the public swimming pool areas, a YMCA or something, where the Muslim people and these people were not just, I don't know how they got into the country, but some of them were, you know, claiming asylum and all this crap, and they're from Ethiopia, and they're, you know, they're saying that they have to close the pools down at a certain time so that the Muslim women can be there by themselves and with their kids, and it's just unbelievable. Well, and they're bowing down to this crap right here in San Diego. I'm livid about it.
They're doing it in Dearborn, Michigan. But now, FT Flaps just put on there because we have freedom of religion. Yes, we do.
But I don't consider Islam
to be a religion. It is a cult. It advocates killing people, murdering people, raping people, pedophilia, all these things. That is not a religion.
It's a madman's religion. I get that. And they're stuck in the ninth century or somewhere thereabouts. It's horrible.
It's the envisionment of a pedophile.
This political correctness, this multiculturalism is what leads to, you know, Nakam Shiffrin's schoolhouse being burned down because he was a Orthodox Jew and a very good teacher. I'm reading the book right now. In fact, Terry Rowland has read it already. They have taken the California school system from being number one to number 50 in the United States. They've taken the state of California and turned it upside down in 45 years of being the most desirable place to live to the least of the entire nation. It's horrible. I mean, I see this every day.
Well,
and yeah, go ahead.
In the late 60s, California made it a place that I considered to be a crap hole. When our veterans came home and how they were treated when they landed in California, I've never had any respect for California since that time.
It's getting worse.
And I have watched California get worse and worse. California is the prime example of what not to do.
Exactly. Amen. And there's a lot of people. I was down at that rally in San Diego on Saturday, and like I said, there were five people in the car, and all five people wanted to get the hell out of California as soon as they can, and they're making plans right now. So, within 2 to 3 years, those people will be bailing out as well because they can't take it anymore.
Well, but when you leave California, you've got to leave those ideologies and stuff behind too. Otherwise, you're just bringing that crap to the rest of the country.
Well, the people that I was sitting with are not going to bring bad ideologies. They all hate Obama. They all hate Marxism. They all hate, you know, tyranny. They get it. They're very free market oriented. They understand a lot of things. And I'm hoping that Dr. Gafanti will be a guest on my show for a few minutes tomorrow because he's got a bunch of great ideas about the healthcare system. So that's another story for tomorrow. But these people are very educated. They understand the difference between Keynesian economics and what's going on today. So these are good people, Bill. We're bringing good ones.
Now, if you want a good example about what Obama healthcare is, look at the Veterans Administration hospitals and how the veterans are being treated. Now, you put that on a national level. That's what Obamacare is going to be.
There was another article similar to that, it wasn't just the veterans. I mean, the poor disenfranchised American Indians in their reservations, they say that their health care system is worse than Canada, and it's horrible because it's all government run.
Hello, Rod. I'm glad you're back. Rod is guest 9968, guys.
Okay,
hey,
good to have Rob back with us. I'd have to question on the health care. Is it about health care, or is it really more about hand and power to his minions. And again, laundering taxpayer money to his minions and supporters. I've never seen any president launder the taxpayers' money so much as Obama.
Right. It's not just the unions and all his minions and all his favored people and, you know, the Amish and the Muslims. They get exemptions from all this. And how many exemption waivers that were handed out after this thing was passed in 2010 by...
And how many of all those exemptions were Obama supporters?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's also the special interest of the trial lawyers and the insurance companies, because if they repeal Obamacare, there's going to be a whole lot of people who supported that Leviathan who's going to be in the unemployment lines, believe me. And that's why they're fighting to keep it. Because this isn't about health care. This is about tyranny. Everybody knows it that has half a brain.
Well, they need to bring back the original 13th Amendment that blocked lawyers and attorneys from being politicians.
Yes, they should have.
Oh, gosh.
They should have.
Because that's where I see a lot of our problems come from. And I know a lot of people like Abraham Lincoln, but this happened during Lincoln.
Oh, sure.
And Lincoln was an attorney.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We have, our system has just got so overrun, so over corrupt, not just our administration, our Congress, and our Senate, but our judicial.
Absolutely. Well, we've got some really, really good judges that are going to be in our California for Superior Court judge, and they were speaking as well during this rally last Saturday. Jim Miller's one of them, Gary Creep's another one, and I can't remember the other gentleman's name, but I think it's David something. Excellent people. They're going to bring, you know, good judicial common sense to the court. And so, you know, we've been fighting very hard to make sure that they get in November as well. So we're just trying. I mean, everybody's doing their part. And this is what we have to keep doing. And we got to go local, because if you don't hit them in the local level, nothing's going to change. You know what I mean?
Rod, you can call in any second.
Did you notice, does anybody notice that it was in the news the last few days, that every state that elected a Republican governor in 2010 has a lower unemployment rate than the national average?
Mm-hmm.
That don't tell anybody something? I mean, if I was a liberal, that would upset me to the fact, because I'd be like, well, how come they can do it and we can't?
Well, it's that, you know, the ideology.
They want to hold blind eye. Sorry, they want to hold blind eye. Because if they don't see it and they don't speak it, oh, maybe the American people will forget it.
Well, you know, somebody brought up a good point about, I think it was Bill, when they talk about showing more than 1 year of tax records, and that was my very first thought, was how come all the sealed records of Obama, nobody said one word about the records of Obama, you know, and it's unbelievable what goes on. What these people get away with because of the complicit Marxist media, you know, it's astounding, and this is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge.
It was Obama who made the statement, and then not one person in the media said, well, what about your records?
No, not one.
Right.
It's starting a little bit. There's a few semi-conservatives in the media that are, you know, actually trying to say things, not strong enough. They're not as strong as Alan West would be. But, you know, I think somebody went up against Debbie Wasserman, you know, washout Schultz or whatever. She's so soaked in the Kool-Aid, man. You know, she should be in Jonestown.
Between her and Pelosi and Biden, we have the most ignorant leading the ignorant.
Yep.
Because you have to be a fool to listen to them and believe anything they say when they contradict themselves in their own words.
Yeah, and they all say that it's weird because they're all reading from the same teleprompter. You can tell it. They never change one sentence, not one word, not one inflection. It's just, And then, and anybody who can sit there, even if they're a Dem, you know, or a semi-lib, that's just a voter, how they cannot see this is beyond me. Right? It's just, well, the ignorance and the uneducation is part of it, because and they've been so indoctrinated with the dialectic and the propaganda, which is very, very powerful, and it's very effective, and it's been going on for over 100 years in this country, and we all know it now. We know it now. So that's why Glenn's doing what he's doing. He's going after the culture. Good for him.
Well, I agree with Glenn on some things, but the reality of it is, Linda, I'm going to be honest, Glenn's out to make money.
I know. But he's doing a few good things where at least he's giving people the opportunity to see other sides, to wake up spiritually.
He has revealed, I give him that, he has revealed a lot. And
yes.
He has opened up a lot of people's eyes.
And the other thing he's doing, which will be after our event, of course, when we go to Indiana, he's got the 12 trucks now with 12 cities. It came from 10 or 11 trucks. Now it's up there. They're all filled. They're going to do great things. They got 25,000 people. Access huge on the second day of his event, helping with making sure that food gets distributed to the food banks and to the churches and whatever needs to be done. And what he's doing is he's filling the void so that people don't have to go to the government, which is a great concept, and that's the way it should be. And I have to credit him for that.
Well, I got to tell you, Linda, you know what's going to happen there? You're going to have people showing up who get food stamps anyway, and they're going to kick food. We have that same thing here in Indiana. We have all kinds of groups that are handing out food and stuff. And what you'll see when you go to those places is you'll see the same people that you'll see in line using the food stamp card. They
Which
don't
is
change.
Not fair. It's not right.
No, it's not fair. It's not right.
But I understand the step in the right direction to get people weaned off that idea of complete dependency. You know, in other words, where we the people,
sure.
Like they did in Ben Franklin's day, when charity meant something and you really could solve the problem. You could solve them as a community. You know what I mean? There's no reason for people to go hungry. There's no reason for people to not have a hospital. You know, you just go out and you knock on doors and you get people to donate and, you know, and they'll do it because Americans are charitable people. So if you go with that, that's going to be part of the key. Part, you know what I mean?
We,
part of the answer.
We are the most charitable people on the planet, the United States citizens. We give more. The problem we have with charity is our government being involved in charity, and they should never have been involved in it because that's picking winners and losers. And this was discussed by Davy Crockett in the Congress about it all. And we still have that same problem today. And we do need to be looking out for our own people. But when you've got a government that's killing off the farmland and small farmers and stuff, well, I think that's where you help your people is give them seeds, teach them to grow.
Right.
And things like that. We can't continue. Hell, you don't even know what you're getting, where it come from or anything else, if it's genetically modified or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, I know the agenda is huge, and I know what they're doing. It's evil. I know.
Yeah. Well, I thought the one thing that we could ever talk about that would really raise awareness to people was the idea that there are around, right at 7 billion people on the planet, and that these global elitists, the ones pushing the entire agenda and everything, want to kill off 6 billion of you. Now, I'm not dumb enough to think I'm going to be a lucky person to be left in that pillion.
Yeah, I know.
And a lot of these people in the media are elected. Bankers and some of these others, businessmen and stuff, other people, they all think for some reason that they're going to be part of that billion. Sheila Jackson Lee, you will not be part of that billion. You will be one of the first ones they get rid of.
Yep.
But they don't have that. They don't have the brain power to realize that they're not going to make that billion. Did anybody see the picture of Obama with a pickaxe?
That's a scary thought.
No, it ain't scary, Hoss. If you see him with it, you would roll over laughing. It's worse than the baseball throw. He has his hands spread apart on it. He's standing wrong. I've seen women could swing a pickaxe better than he could. And it just let you could tell he was totally out of his element.
Yeah.
Because the man has never worked a day in his life.
Nope, not once.
Not once. Yeah.
And he's not going to.
If he can get by with it, no. He has been a college educated con man.
Yep.
I love when Pastor Manning calls him long-legged Mac Daddy because it's the truth.
Yep,
around here we call those kinds of people dandy dons. They just think they can just pull the wool over everybody's eyes and con everybody out of what they have. And now he's president. Who would have ever thought that?
You know, if Romney is going to be the golden boy, then he has to step up to the plate. Kyra, you're absolutely correct. And back in the day, this is going back a few years, but I do remember Bill Clinton, when he first ran the first time, he did have a plan, and I can't remember how many pages it was, but he talked about it in his campaign on television, saying, I have a plan to help. Go read it. It's wherever he had it. I don't even remember if we had internet, but I guess we did. And some people actually...
I'm sorry, my husband asked a question. I'm sorry.
Anyway, basically, you're right. Romney needs to have a very clear plan and articulate it in the sound bites that the drones can understand, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and compare it to the failed plans. This is the plan that's failing. This is my plan to save that.
Right. And he's got to use common sense, and he's got to draw parallels so that people can relate to it. And he's got to use, you know, Bernays' type of psychology or whatever, and just go for it and be polite but firm and mean business.
Well, see,
like Chris Christie would.
That's my issue is the politeness is getting him slam dunked. It's getting him beat every time he turns his head.
Well, he's gotta have a lot more passion when he speaks. You know, you're allowed to be passionate when you speak. You know, and I know that Chris Christie does that. I know that Rick Perry's pretty passionate now because he's telling Obama how far he can shove his Medicaid, Medicare, you know, plans. And there's
Alan
a lot
West,
of states doing the same thing.
We have it with Alan West standing up and making and taking it straight to him and telling the truth.
Yep.
We have it with other lives. And I give Perry credit because he has stood up straight. His health care, and Rick Scott of Florida has, and others, and that's what it takes. They have a fighting disposition. We're not going to let you do this. We're just not going to let you do it. And until we see more of our electeds standing up and say, no, this is wrong, it violates the Constitution, it violates morality, it violates whatever, but
yeah,
we're not
Romney
seeing that.
Romney needs to fire his handlers.
He needs to fire his handlers,
get rid of the current group that is telling him what to say or not to say, and get somebody with some cojones in there. You know,
well, the
right
problem is I think he's got part of McCain's group in there.
Of course. This is a lose-lose situation if that goes on. He can't do this. And
typical
it's horrible.
GOP.
I know. It's ridiculous. I'm fed up with all of them. They're just idiots. Either they're complete traitors or they're complete idiots.
It sure doesn't give you no faith in the education system, does it? All these college graduates. That, I mean, it just totally just. If there's ever we ever proof of a failing education system, it's our elected.
Oh, you got that right. Good God, and they're dopes too. I mean, I wonder if any of them can add past 10. You know, it's unbelievable.
People got to see what The bottom line is everybody's got to come to grips with the fact that Obama's trying to tax this nation into total government dependency.
Right.
And until people wake up to that fact and see that for what it is, nothing will change.
I know.
Nothing will become different. Nothing will be solved. Nothing will be settled. And we'll continue to struggle. It's just the bottom line.
And by the time people figure out that the dependency is nothing more than a way to trap you into being, you won't be dependent, you'll be a slave.
Yep.
And so they wake up to that fact that, yeah, you're happy right now because you're getting free stuff, but that'll come to an end.
And then we're into Greece territory.
And if they could do away with all their wealthy like they'd like to do, tell me who would pay the bills.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely, it's illogical, nonsensical, it's idiocy. I can't.
Well, in a way, it was intelligent to use the 50% who pay no taxes against those who do.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's been tried and true for decades, eons, in other countries, and it works until it all falls apart like Greece and Spain. I mean, they're a mess. And I think that's part of the plan, and I think Soros is behind it hugely because he wants to collapse this country because he thinks he's God. He always has, and he's evil. And they're doing it so that they can foment this type of, Molotov cocktail craziness, and then they can do their martial law gig, and then we're done. You know, that's what they're trying to – I know that's their goal in order to foment what they want to do and take all of our guns away. Well, you know what? We got – got some answers for them.
I get a lot of things, and I'll be honest, it gets to me at times. I'm human. I break down just like anybody else.
Right.
And it can be overwhelming. But I don't, like others, I don't just lay down and say, oh, whatever they do, I'll just have to take it. No, I don't have to take nothing.
Right. That's why you and I do what we do, and Hollis does, and everybody, Kyra's doing it. Everybody's got a piece of this puzzle, and we're working. We're trying, you know.
If this was only about me, it'd be a whole different story. But it's about the children. It's about those who can't stand up and defend themselves. It's about the future generations that aren't even being born yet, but already have debt. That's who I'm fighting for. And I will continue to fight for, because if no one else is going to stand up and take up for these people, then I will.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
I feel like my life will have been worth something. I'll do it.
Yes. Exactly,
and
Bill.
Every one of us has had that kind of feeling. Well, if we've seen no one else is doing nothing, so we've taken it upon ourselves to stand up and try our best. And we're new at this. We're new at this whole political game. Let's be honest.
Yes.
I am.
Yep.
And
me too.
What I have learned since 2005 has just floored me, because I never knew, and I was just like everyone else, I never knew things that were going on behind everybody's back. When Ron Golden posted the first article about the Rothschilds and the monetary system, and I read that, it took me 2 days. I was floored. And since then I have found out a lot of other things. When I started trying to push Agenda 21, Linda, you were one of the people that listened. And I'm grateful. And
and you know the deal, Bill. It's funny because you probably turned me on to it at the same time or about the same that I met Barbara Decker, and Barbara has been a champion of going around to every group. And when I heard her speak and got her literature, I took the ball and ran with it and joined her group. And that was 2 years ago. So we have been on a mission, and we are just getting started. I'm telling you, we're going to make a difference. We're going to. Because
we have to look at what is the greatest threat to all of us. And Agenda 21 is the thing that our very elected are pushing, implementing behind our backs. Well, they're not even doing it behind our backs anymore. And Agenda 21 is the threat. We could topple Agenda 21 and it shouldn't be that hard to do, because everything about the agenda is based on the fake man-made global warming.
Right. Well,
and
what I'm doing,
if we can tear that down.
Well, here's what I've already spoken on a couple of the other shows, but just recently, Sunday, I was at a meeting, a local one, and one of the council people were actually sitting next to me, and at the end of the meeting, I got a chance to ask her, what is the procedure to have a private meeting with one or two of you folks on the council? She explained to me how to do it. It's very simple. You set it up with one of the aides, and they set it, and you go. And she says, can I ask you, you know, what it's about? And I says, yes. And she's wondering if I wanted to see. I says, well, yourself and Mayor Wood would be a good start. And I said, it is about the general plan. It is about ICLEI. It is about the non-governmental organizations and the circulation element here in Oceanside. And these people who, you know, unbeknownst to folks like you and others, they are doing much more harm for the community than good. And so I left it at that because I didn't want to, you know, play all my cards. But what I'm planning on explaining to her after I show her my wares that I've collected over a period of time is that my mission, even if you don't listen, I'm going to wake up the other 37 million people in the state of California before I'm finished. And if you don't want them breathing down your neck, you better heed my warning. That's what I'm going to tell us. Because that has to be told.
That's what it takes.
I want them to know.
When they see me coming to a city council meeting, they'll try to cancel it.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
I mean, you know, because they feel I am such a threat to them.
Well, you are, Bill.
I'm glad, because if I'm a threat, that means I'm on to the truth and honesty, and they're afraid I'm going to expose them.
Yo, yeah. Well,
I have often questioned, I don't know why they haven't come after me in some way or another. And then people are like, because you're on the net and they know that if something happens to you, all these other people are going to be asking what happened. And I said, well, if that's true, that's good. God bless me with the Patriot family and Hollis. I'm so grateful to Hollis and all he does in keeping this website up and these radio shows going. And it gives me strength. It gives me, anytime I'm feeling down, or I can come into the Patriot family site and talk to somebody, and I get lifted back up, and I go right back out and join the fight. I don't stop. And,
absolutely,
I'm grateful to all of you. I'm grateful to all of you for that. You've been a major blessing to me. And
I think we all
want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing back to people. I'm trying to make up for all the bad of my past, you know. And I want to be a blessing. I want people to remember me that, for the good things that I tried to do, not the bad things in my past. And I think we all go through life and we learn as we get older. I heard someone say that when you're younger, you're more liberal, and when you're older, you're more conservative, because when you get older, you realize, well, you got responsibilities and you got to pay for everything.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah,
we're going to keep up the fight, Bill. No, we got to, even if we get down, like I had a little, you know, a moment of, you know, clarity today, so I'll be praying on it. But, you know, because my family members, they don't, you know, understand what I'm doing. They get mad at me. They think I'm crazy, you know, the whole nine yards. So it is disheartening. So I have to really tread on thin ice. And when I'm around these people who don't understand what's going on or don't want to know, it's really a no free speech zone. And I just have to remember that. So. And pray on it.
Well, we're on the right track by trying to tell the truth. It's getting, reaching people with that truth is the hardest part.
I'll be right, guys. Bye.
And we're seeing, like, well, some of us use Facebook, for example. Facebook likes to delete stuff. Facebook likes to keep you from being able to reply to stuff. And what we're seeing is they have realized that technology has worked against the Liberal Party to the biggest extent. It gave power to the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm.
It's give power to the people. We are communicating. We are getting our news not from the major news sources because of all their lies, but we're able to look up and get news on our own and then post it and share it. That's what it's going to take.
Yeah, I know that, and it's one person at a time, Bill. I believe you know you can change many things if you know. I mean, if I have five people and they go see another one, you know, it's
hey
that
guys,
networking.
We have another caller. I don't know who it is.
Oh, you're
hello.
Right.
Hello, Hollis.
It's Robert.
Linda.
Hey, Robert.
What y'all doing, guys?
So,
you
Robert,
know, I can yes, ma'am.
I was going to ask you, because I sometimes I have Jewish idioms, but I can't explain the definition. So explain the word, because I was a little freshimel today.
Freshimel?
Yeah, freshimel.
I haven't heard you were frazzled.
Exactly, yeah. Just hard
to... for simple means like you're frazzled.
Yeah.
Like I was today. I was very for simple today too. your ears must have been burning.
Absolutely. Well, they were. Yeah, I pretty much got reamed by my sister today.
That's pretty well done. You know, oh yeah, if you had well, family will make you for simple.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what happened. But anyway, welcome to the show. I'm really glad that we got a lot of folks here today.
I've been listening to all this stuff. You guys are great, man. You're on the money on everything, man. Yeah, it's just incredible. I just spent an hour of listening to Fox News, and then you just come back and say you report it right on. And I can attest to Hollis's statement what he said about the food stamps in Atlanta and back in the 90s and 80s and driving all the Cadillacs, because I was a reporter back then in the early 90s. I saw it back then in 1991, 92.
Right.
It was awful. Yeah. It's sad.
What they're doing is they're rewarding people for slothfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, a lot of people just fall into that category, and they keep them shackled, enslaved by doing this. And they use them like Lenin would call them, useful idiots. This is exactly, and then they'll both, they it's the truth. Look what's going on around us. Why do you think he's closing down the Border Patrol? He wants their votes. He doesn't give a damn if they have a job.
No. Yeah, but Linda, you know what's so frustrating when I was listening to this news today, and you know, it was like, but Bill O'Reilly's sidekick goes out on interviews and asks these young kids certain questions. I forget his name right now.
Yeah.
He goes and asks these kids in college, mind you, in universities. He says, I mean, university students. Who is Patrick Henry? Do you think they know?
No.
Who said give me liberty or give me? Who said that? They didn't even know what a founding father was, and they're in college.
Yeah.
They can't
tell
you the year that Columbus sailed the ocean.
Right.
Let alone the name of his three ships.
Yeah. And
Robert Santa Maria. Yes.
Those people don't even know who Joe Biden is. That's how stupid they are.
I don't even know who Joe Biden is. That guy's but I tell you one thing. He realizes that we're all in a depression. He got that right.
Well, I got to ask you something. Did any of you hear the head of the NAACP's recent rant about the Democratic Party?
Uh-uh.
No.
He went after the Democratic Party as they'll only use us to get in power and then they'll throw us under the bus.
Yep. Well, that's what statism is. They throw people under the bus.
Maybe the only thing he's ever said that I agreed with.
Wow.
Does that mean I'm a racist? Does that mean I'm a racist bullstrong after I laughed at that?
No, because you see the irony of it.
Yeah.
It's not being racist.
Oh, you know,
racism has become overused and abused.
God.
It has been taken out of context and
it's
stretched.
And bastardized, and lied about. And, you know, the only reason they keep doing this and Obama keeps doing spewing his teleprompter lies is because the same thing, they learned this very well from Goebbels, and Goebbels learned it from Bernays and Wilson administration, and it's propaganda to the max, and they know that they have to keep saying it over and over and over until the drones believe it. It's like the Jedi master trick, you know. It's that's what they're doing. They're just indoctrinating people through the airwaves constantly. It's the only way they can win. That's all they have.
Well, they do a great job, but how do they think about it? I mean, I probably said this on the show before, but I just want to make sure if I'm not going. What's the Jewish word we just said?
For Schimmel.
For Schimmel. I think they just sit up all night and all day long to find out what they're going to do the next day to really just mess us up. I'm beginning to really feel that way.
Yeah, they're diabolical, no doubt.
They have think tanks to do that for them.
Yep.
They don't have to sit up all night. They're paying people gazillions of dollars to do just that.
Yep. Well, you know, what we need to do is we got to figure out a better message and got to figure out how to do a better job of speaking the truth and getting people to actually sit up and the light bulb goes off. How I'm going to do that, but I'm going to pray on it for days.
You're right, Linda. I was trying to explain to my sister about the smart meters. What is that? And I told her what was going on. And when I came to the part with the analog chip in there that they can see through your house, I don't want that. She finally sunk in. I should sign my petition now.
Well, here's the thing, Robert. They're also they're selling in Sears and all these places wherever you go. They're selling these brand new appliances, whether a refrigerator, a TV, or a washing machine, even, and they're all spying on you. They have, they've got cameras and everything. They've got radio frequencies and everything. And it's all going to be hooked up to that Utah grid monstrosity they've got built already. And people don't understand this. And that's why.
Say that one more time. So, in other words, if I buy a new refrigerator, if I have a smart meter, they can control that too, correct?
They can control everything, and all
correct.
these machines are talking to each other, and they're radio telegraphing it to the Utah grid station where their data is. And this is it's just evil. It's one of the that's why we're fighting the meters so hard, is because if we can get everybody to opt out of these smart meters, that grid will have use and they'll have to shut it down. That's our goal here in California.
We'll see. That's it. You take out one leg at a time, and it'll collapse.
Exactly. This is what we're doing, and that's why I have to explain. What I want to explain to the council people in the private meeting is this is the end goal. This is why they do 2030, 2050. It's going to take them that long. This is why they're doing it, and this is what your end result's going to be. And I'm going to tell Councilwoman Sanchez, if you want to live under tyranny like North Korea, you just keep doing what you're doing. Oh, I'm going to tell
Linda,
him.
Yes, yeah. Linda. Can I read you my letter that I wrote to Florida Power & Light? I haven't sent it out yet.
Go for it.
I said, attention from FPL. I said, thank you so much for returning my phone call for Florida Power & Light from 1-706-245-0093. I said, also, thanks for giving me the number to call you personally concerning smart meters at the same number. And thanks for giving me time to write you a letter concerning my denial of a smart meter outside my home. I have researched this matter extensively, and it really bothers me that I did not receive any notice through the mail, nor have been advised that I have, quote, no right to opt out, as you said per contra our conversation on 7/5/2012 at 2:29 p.m. The reason I'm opting out is because I have serious health issues, as I suffered a stroke back in 2004.
Good.
I also have headaches, which are already progressively worsening. Also, from the articles I have read, the smart meter causes nausea, vomiting, migraine, headaches, and heart palpitations. I already have those symptoms, and I feel the smart meter will not help my condition. Another concern I researched with regards to the smart meter, there is an analog chip which allows anyone from Florida Power & Light, or someone else for that matter, to view inside your home, which is an invasion of privacy and violates the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution of the United States of America. I feel I have the right to opt out according to the Fourth Amendment of our Constitution of the United States of America. I will be sending a copy of this letter to all my neighbors in the neighborhood. Also, if it was not for my contractor, Mike Niles, informing me of this situation, I would not have been able to contact you. Also, a copy of this letter would be enclosed with my attorney at law. Thanks for your help, advice, time, and consideration, and hopefully Florida Power & Light Company will see the light with me concerning Florida citizens and the Fourth Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. Respectfully, me.
Cool. Now listen. Did you send it already?
No, I haven't. I have to read it to my contractor to see if he'll accept it. And once he accepts it, then I'm signing the petition and getting copies and going around the city of Venice and just have people, you know, just talk about it.
Okay. When you send it in the mail, Robert,
yes.
Send it certified.
Oh, I will.
Certified mail.
Certified return receipt requested.
Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am. So I try. That's my battle.
Awesome.
But do you think I win it?
Well, basically what you've done is you told them you are not consenting. And once they get it certified, they cannot put the meter. I would put a sign on the meter as well. Oh, smart meter here. And with a circle and a slash through it in red. That's what I did.
How did
yep.
you do it now?
I just
say
got a plain piece of paper, and I put a sign, like a white piece of paper, and it says, no smart meter here, and I put a zero with a slash through it in red.
There you go.
The
Bowser,
thing.
You.
You got a local
Ron, so you got a
I'm
local paper, Robert? Is that Uncle Ron?
It is.
Have you got a local paper, Robert? Yeah, Venice Gondolier.
Do you have a local newspaper?
Venice Gondolier. Oh, they won't print my articles. They hate me.
Now,
I
Robert,
tell you, they hate
me. Robert,
I'm serious.
With you and Linda talking about the... Oh, for goodness sakes, my mind just went completely zero.
Smart meter.
No. The
Jewish word.
Yeah, but it's not Jewish. What's the other word for it? Dang it.
Yiddish.
I think I coined a new phrase now. Instead of Yiddish, we're now going to refer to it as Jubonics.
Jubonics? Oh, that's hateful.
That's like Ebonics, only for Jewish people.
Ebonics.
I like it. I think it's catchy.
That's cool.
I like it.
Are you trying to say that Obama is a Jew now?
No, not at all.
We would not.
No,
insult,
I think
we would
have a Jewish revolt if anybody said that.
I think we can safely say Obama is a bit of everything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how he does it. He's Irish, he's Catholic, he's Christian, he's Muslim,
he's black, he's white.
He's just an ecumenical guy who likes to steal other people's bodies.
Wouldn't that make him a eunuch?
Well, we're all going to be thrown in jail. You realize this? We're going to be in the same room together doing time. You realize that, Bill Strong and Hollis? You know that, right?
Well, you know, I
we're gonna be,
we can
well,
work out at the gym all day
well,
every day.
Then.
I hope Hollis
well,
plays harmonica.
Well, we're all in good company, wouldn't we?
You realize we're going to be in jail after the election's over. Just as soon as the election is over, we're the first ones they're going to haul off. You realize that?
I thought Ted Nugent was.
I can't wait. Well, at least we'll get some free meals. We don't have to buy food stamps.
Three hot shots. It's the ultimate welfare program.
Absolutely.
I'm serious.
You know, prison is the purest form of socialism, and I can't see why Obama just doesn't want to go live there.
He'd be among one of the largest Muslim populations in the U.S.
and gays.
Yeah, I'm surprised Barney Frank hasn't just signed up. You know.
Well, you know, it's a battle. It's like Rod says, we're fighting socialism. And we gotta do whatever we can. Get all the people together and all the strength we can just to continue to fight it.
In my humble opinion, I believe we're fighting fascism on a fast track to Marxism.
Yeah,
exactly.
I just call it all progressivism. It covers all isms.
So you're right, Bill. It's statism because it's authoritarian and totalitarian control. And like I said before, and I do believe that they're just itching to bring it down with iron fists. Nothing would surprise me with these people because I believe they're evil, and I'm fighting them. That's it.
I got an email from my congressman, Tom Price, today urging that, and he's a Republican, urging that we must repeal and replace
Obamacare. That makes me crazy.
And this is what I've been telling you guys. The Republicans are not against government-run health care. They're just against the Democrats' plan of government-run health care.
I've been saying that all along, Ron. All they're doing is jockeying to see who's going to be the ones who have total control over us.
Right. Absolutely. There is not a doubt in my mind. And, you know, I was actually talking to one of my guys today, and he won't be one of our guys for very much longer. Unfortunately, he's going to be terminated at the end of the week, but he doesn't know that yet. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and he was asking me about the banking system. And so I was explaining it to him and, you know, figured out a way to explain it that a 12-year-old could understand, quite frankly. And he was furious, and I just started laughing. And I said, "Man, what are you mad about?" I said, "You don't even know a third of it yet. That's just the surface of the banking system." I mean, you know.
I started talking to some people this last weekend about everything and trying to condense it. And, you know, there's just so much you can't really just sit down and explain to someone in an hour or two. You just can't do it. There's too much.
Well, the easiest way I've found, like on the banking system, okay? I said, well, let's play a game. Let's pretend we're playing like Monopoly, okay? And I'm the bank, and you're Congress. And there's no money. We're starting a brand new country. There is not the first dollar in circulation. And you're Congress, and you're broke. You don't have any money. And so we're going to put the first money into circulation. It's going to be $100. So you come to me and you say, look, I need to borrow $100. I say, well, that's not a problem. But, you know, your credit's not too good, so you're going to have to give me 100% collateral. So you trot down to the Treasury Department, and they write you out a $100 Treasury bond. You bring it back to me. There's your collateral. I put it on deposit. I now have $100 in my bank that I didn't have before. I write you a check for $100. What are you going to do with the check? You're going to deposit it in your new account, right? So now I have $200 on deposit that I didn't have before. All I had when you walked in the door was a checkbook. Now I got $200. You leave all happy with your new checkbook and your account. I call up the Bureau of Printing and Engraving and say, I need a $100 bill. No problem. They print one up, send it over. I now have $300 on deposit. But I do have to pay 7 cents to purchase that $100 bill. Now I've got $300. Okay, I can sell the Treasury bond to someone. I can create another $900 on top of the $100 bill. Plus, you got $100 in your checking account. There's another $900 I can create, presuming I've got a 10% reserve requirement. Now, I loaned you that $100 at 10% interest. Thus far, we've got $100 in circulation in the economy. You owe me $110. You've paid me $100, but I haven't cashed in yet because it's going to take 3 months for that to mature. So you've got your interest payment comes up. You got to pay me $10. Now you got $90. How are you going to pay me back? How are you going to make good on the $100 bond? You can't. There's only $90 now in circulation in the economy. You can't do it. You can't pay me back the $110. Because all you've got is 90, and you're going to spend that 90 on programs to put that money into circulation in the economy, you still can't pay me. And the law is great because the way we wrote the law is that the interest, that $10, well, I have to pay that back to the Treasury Department as a tax, all the interest I make. But you can see real quickly, I've got thousands of dollars that I've created on a bookkeeping entry.
Yep.
Off of a $100 bill, and you still owe me more than the face value of that $100 bill. It's nuts. And this is why you cannot pay down the system. You can't. If all the debts were paid, if all outstanding loans and debts were paid, there'd be no money.
Right.
And you'd still come up short. Way short.
I guess the question is, how do you and I start an enterprise like that?
Well, there's the problem without going to jail.
Right, exactly. Because what the Federal Reserve System is, in a nutshell, is it's legal counterfeiting.
Yes.
Oh, God.
That's what it looks like. Well, yeah, it looks like they're just printing it on these printing presses, and some kid in 5 years old could, you know, draw the damn thing. It's like Monopoly money, and so it's worth the same thing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's manufactured,
you know,
BS.
Even people that play Monopoly realize that, you know, if you sat down and played a game of Monopoly, and every time you passed go, instead of collecting $200, you had to pay $200 to the bank, nobody would have the money. You know, everybody would run out of money. Except
yep,
the bank.
Real quick. Of course.
And there you're only talking about a percentage. That's just interest. The interest is nothing. They pay that back into the Treasury. Where they really make the big money is the fact that they're loaning a $100 bill for face value that they paid 7 cents for.
Jesus.
And if it were, if it was 10% interest, right, that's $10 for every 100. But they pay that back into the Treasury, so that's a wash. But look at the profit they're making on the rest of it.
Oh my God!
That's where the big money's at, and then they fractionalize that and parlay a $100 bill into $1,000.
Oh my God! Yep.
And any interest they get off of those loans, they pay back into the Treasury. Now, when it gets down to, you know, like Bank of America. They are the banks themselves, not the Federal Reserve Bank, but the banks they're allowed to keep 6%. That is, by law, they keep 6% for their take. Now, that doesn't count all the fees and everything else they charge everybody at the bank and credit card fees and all that other crap. And it's gotten to the point now that the Federal Reserve, instead of paying that money back into the Treasury every month, they just write it off against what the government owes them.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you. That's like, who's on first? What's on second?
Right. And that's just scratching the surface. And then if you add into that, that all the Treasury bonds that the Treasury Department is printing, not all of them, by the way, but the majority of them, all of them that go up for auction, the Federal Reserve is purchasing 61% currently of all the Treasury bonds that go for auction. The Feds also did something back in 2011, the Treasury Department did. They called China and said, hey, you don't have to worry about going through the Fed. You can come straight to us at the Treasury Department. We'll give you a discount. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, my God.
So, in truth, we've got no clue what the true debt is.
Right, right.
Not even counting the unfunded liabilities, you know, the promise to pay down the road that ain't going to happen.
If you start adding all that stuff up, Ron, we're into the hundreds of trillions of dollars, if not more.
Oh, if you start adding it all up, it's more than the entire gross domestic product of the entire globe.
Planet, yeah. It's sick.
Wow.
So, I know. So what we were bantering about earlier was we're trying to figure out a better way to get our message out with the truth and do it in a way that doesn't make people crazy, you know, kind of like what I...
The UN. No.
That's good.
At least seven to ten times a day, I put on somebody's site, get the UN out of the U.S. and the U.S. out of the UN.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I know I shouldn't say this, but if only we could convince some Muslim hijackers that the UN is the real problem.
That would have been good.
I think the UN's damn near become Muslim.
Well,
anyway,
I'm afraid you're right there.
What we're trying to figure out is, you know, like Goebbels and Bernays and all the, you know, Philip Drew administrator, Wilson, and all the rest of them, their incredible psychology that they've successfully used throughout the, you know, past almost 120, 30 years. How do we tap into that? What's our, you know, are there books out there that I can get to help?
Well,
you know, become Milton Friedman and be calm and take a deep breath.
Holy cow. Let me tell you, when it comes to economics, I mean, when you start talking economics, most people's eyes roll back in their head and they go into a coma. But in all honesty, what you're up against, you know, you can read it in the scripture. You're fighting a battle against a majority of people that are lovers of a lie.
Yes.
They're being lied to, and they love that lie. They embrace it. It's
good
like
God.
A security blanket for them.
Okay.
And, you know, you can't convince them that they're being lied to, and because all they can see is the apparent benefit to them from getting free money. And when you have people that refer to those of us who work for a living as suckers.
Yep.
Because we're not milking the system. How do you get past that? You can't.
I know.
You're never going to convince those people that it's not in their best interest to remain on the government payroll.
Right. So I guess my question is going into the psychology of dialectic and using it against them or using it for our own purpose, like, and Bernays convinced the entire country of America to eat chicken with eggs in the morning. I mean, nobody did that before he did his thing. How do you get, you know what I'm saying, how do we use their tactics for the good?
You would have to have very deep pockets, and be able to inundate. No, I'm dead serious. You would have to be able to inundate the print, radio,
yep,
and news media, you know, television media, with
right,
advertising for the Constitution, states' rights, sound money. And you know what? They're not going to run those ads.
Right. Yeah, you're right. We're screwed because we have no money to do it. I mean, if we
they
were like
are
Ted
not,
Turner,
they
we could...
are in no way, shape, or form going to run those ads.
But if you can make a damn good ad and get it on YouTube, it can be seen by as many people as it would be seen by on mainstream
media.
That's
true. Viral.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why you have so many people that are involved in the Tea Party and you know, Patriot
right,
families and TeaParty.net and you know, Prayerful Patriots and Patriots for Christ and umpteen bazillion other websites. There are people all over Europe and the rest of the world that they also get, and they know that they're being oppressed and that they have been oppressed for centuries around the globe. And, you know, that's some of the stuff when I look at like the Arab Spring and the stuff going on in Egypt and other places, I'm torn. Because I know that some of that is being fomented by the fruit nuts, the Fruit Loops,
yeah,
the fanatics and the radicals. But
right,
at the same time, many of those people have an absolutely 100% valid point. They have
right,
absolutely been oppressed for
mm-hmm,
centuries.
Yeah.
Now, many of them in the Muslim community, they embrace oppressing females, they embrace oppressing others, but not themselves. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. But I
sure,
think a lot of folks are waking up, and the internet is one of those things that has given
sure,
everyone access to information.
You've got Tea Party groups in Australia, New Zealand, and Britain, and Sweden, and other places around the world now. You're seeing a lot of people waking up to Agenda 21, and I try reaching out to those people. I speak to people who speak Spanish and English so that they can translate what I say. But I want everyone to know that Agenda 21 is not just a threat to the United States. It's a threat to the world.
Oh,
yes,
well, sure
it is.
But, you know, at the same time, Bill, you know, and that's I had a customer yesterday. He's Puerto Rican. He's from Puerto Rico. He's terrified for his country because he sees that over 50% of the population – in some way, shape, or form, works for government, whether they're
yeah,
on public assistance or they actually literally work for the government. And he said it is so bad. He was telling me about, you know, and now they're beginning to privatize things over in Puerto Rico. And the folks that have had the cushy government jobs are getting pissed because the way it used to run, he said they would have like 12 people working one shift at the same job. Now, you're not talking about, you know, 12 different job stations. You're talking
no,
about one job station, one guy that should take one person, you know, an 8 or 10 hour day. And you've got 12 people working that position. And what they would do is one guy would work for 45 minutes. And while he's working, the other guys are partying and drinking and playing cards. And then he rotates out and another guy takes his place and he gets into the card game. And then they just keep rotating out, and they're all getting paid a full salary.
It's all fair.
And they're working 45 minutes to an hour a day and getting paid for a 10-hour shift.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, but now that they're privatizing, that's going away because the private companies are cracking down and saying, no, that might have been the way it was when you worked in the union for the government, but this is private, and we don't tolerate that crap. So
cool.
Now they're really getting pissed, and they're turning
yep,
to crime.
Yep, and that's what happened in Wisconsin because the governor and the people, or the majority, said no more of this nonsense, and he was doing the right thing. And then, of course, the lefty nut jobs and the little hornet's nest went in there. Were very upset, and what was beautiful is they woke up and they kept him in. They didn't let him be recalled. That was beautiful.
And there's been a major drop out of union membership in that state.
Good.
Yeah. Well, you know, and my dad, give you an example, you know, my dad worked in the heavy duty brake industry and he was an instructor And he went to California because they had a municipality out there that was having problems with the brakes on their buses. So he brought in, he had them bring in a bus. He's there 8 o'clock in the morning. They brought in a bus, got it up in the air, took the wheels off, got the brakes apart. And then he went through and you know, showed that this is how we do it the right way so that you get the most longevity out of a set of brakes on one of the buses. So, you know, they went through the routine. By, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock, they were done. The bus was all buttoned up. They test drove it, parked it. He said, all right, let's get another one in here. And they said, oh, no, no, we can't do that. And he looked at me and said, what the hell do you mean? We've got time to do at least one more bus today. Oh, no, we're a union shop. We can only do one complete bus brake job per 8 hours.
Oh, my God.
He said, what the hell do you do the rest of the day? It's 1 o'clock.
Oh,
well, they sit around. They're not allowed to do any more work.
I've witnessed those kinds of things firsthand. When I first worked at Golden Foundry in Columbus, Indiana, years ago, the younger generation that they hired in at that time, we were smoking them. We were putting up numbers that was just smoking them. And the older guys come around saying, hey, slow down. They'll retime us and all this and that. And the guys could actually work a four-hour shift and do the jobs, but they actually got paid for 10 to 12 hours.
Sure.
They walked around. They played cards. Half of them left and went to the bar or home or whatever and came back and clocked out, stuff like that.
I know this will drive Hollis nuts. I've got a buddy in Illinois who is a master carpenter. His dad was a master carpenter. They all work in the union. He can tell you to the minute how long he's got to be on the job to get unemployment.
Good grief.
He'll show up on the job site, and he'll work that job site, and when he starts getting close, he starts watching his watch, and he's told me this. He's had the job foreman come up and say, how much longer you got? And he said, about an hour. He said, I'll go ahead and clock you out in an hour, go home.
Oh, my God.
And the guy makes $38 an hour when he's on the clock.
Mm. Yeah, it's horrible. No free market. You've got to go back to it.
Well,
and people wonder why, you know, that's one reason why prices are through the roof in our economy.
Yep.
Well, you look, like I was telling you, how they did the work. And the truth is, these guys were getting paid for 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever they, you know, on the clock, for getting paid to cycle an incentive pay on top of their base pay at like 300%. So they were making killer money.
Yeah. They're getting grossly overpaid for piss poor production.
That's part
of the problem.
Yeah.
Just to change it up a second, I had a very telling conversation with my sister earlier today, and she's actually trying to convince the kids who are voting, you know, her children and her grandchildren who are of age to vote, and they were all saying, oh, we're not going to vote, you know, we're not going to vote, and they were leaning towards going, you know, changing their party affiliation to Republican because they've all woken up to a vomit, and they go, oh, we're not going to vote, we're not, and Karen was trying to tell them, no, if you go and vote, at least you can, you know, try to negate the other side if that's what you want to do. Don't stay home, you know. Like, oh, God. It was just amazing. I was like, oh, my God, what I'm up against. So I have to pray on this because I can't talk to them. They don't even want to talk to me. So, you know, I got reamed today. So
I want to change this up here. I want to talk about something today that I discovered today. I think I actually discovered it last night. Agent Brian Terry, in the fight in the gun battle he was involved in when he lost his life, he was armed with beanbags.
Oh, my God.
He didn't have live rounds.
Oh, my God. That poor thing. Oh, God, that's so heinous. That's like...
That makes this all that more darker.
Yes.
And
evil.
The truth has to be found out. So someone ISA, whoever, this needs to be pursued and pushed. The fact that our Border Patrol agent was armed with nothing but beanbags.
Good
and
God.
Our government sold the drug cartels that killed him automatic weapons.
Jesus.
That's the same as setting that man up.
That's beyond retarded. But for our government, that's SOP.
It is.
Standard operating procedure.
It's time that the public really got aware of this, that I don't care who you are. You cannot send your law enforcement into a thing armed with nothing but beanbags and supply the enemy that he's going in there against with automatic weapons with real ammo.
You know, and it occurs to me, I've seen these things. They used them during the G20 up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they've used them elsewhere. It's called LRAP. If they want to use non-lethal force on the border, why don't they equip these guys with some LRAP-equipped vehicles? It is a sound-emitting device that, I promise you, if you're in the vicinity of that damn thing, you're going to run the other direction outside of its range.
Wow.
Doesn't matter what kind of weapon you're holding. it's no good to get hit with that thing.
I just, you know, this brings back the memories of the books I've read on Stalin and Hitler. And Mao. It's heinous what they're doing to this country, and it's just in our faces. And what makes us wake up and be so angry at this point in time is because they're on warp speed on steroids, and they're not trying to hide it anymore. And that's what, because they know.
That's,
I think that they know that their time is short, and they want it now.
Well,
and that's why they're doing this.
Well, that's what makes the election that much more important for Obama to win. And if they actually thought he would not win, I'm afraid of what might happen. But
well, you know what? What's really
they
what's
have
pain?
A time limit on all of this stuff.
Sure.
Yep.
And you know what ought to be just painfully evident at this juncture? We are the enemy.
Oh, God.
There can be no question. You look at who the government is siding with. They're siding with illegals. They're siding with La Raza. They're siding with Muslim Brotherhood. They're siding with Al-Qaeda. You know, and that's something that nobody is talking about in the mainstream media, and it pisses me off to absolutely no end.
I know.
The whole excuse, the entire premise, for us going into Afghanistan and into Iraq was to get Al-Qaeda, the evil bastards that allegedly pulled off 9/11. And yet here we have lost thousands and thousands of service members in pursuit of Al-Qaeda. And now our government, we come to find out, is arming and funding Al-Qaeda in Libya, Syria, Egypt.
Yep.
What the hell is wrong with the people out there that we're not calling the government out for this hypocrisy? And that ought to tell you the truth of Al-Qaeda and if we were actually going after Al-Qaeda or not in this quote-unquote war on terror. It is a farce, and it has been a farce since day one.
You know, Ron, you're right. You know what really upsets me about Holder, you know, our Attorney General?
That he's still drawing breath on a government paycheck?
Well, besides that, I was thinking about it sometime, you know, the third of the week, you know, and it really bothered me how that family just is not getting any justice. The only thing I can think of is that, like, the analogy of Obama killing Bin Laden. Do you really think Holder was just watching just a whole gig going down, knowing what was going on? That's how I feel.
First of all, I am absolutely insulted beyond rage that they have now come out and said, oh, we have a couple of suspects in the Brian Terry case. Of course you've got suspects. You sold them the friggin' weapons, you piece of crap. And the idea that Obama...
To arrest those guys, they have to arrest themselves because they're co-conspirators.
Absolutely. You know, the government is not allowed to violate the law in pursuit of an arrest. Okay? They have to be held to the same standard as the rest of us, and they're not. And I'm sorry, conspiracy theory, it might be, but I'll guarantee, I would bet everything I own, including my life, that Obama and the Navy SEALs did not get Osama bin Laden at some compound in Pakistan. I think that SOB was dead for a long time prior to that.
Yep.
And it's all a friggin' game.
Theater.
It's all
theater.
Would not surprise me. Would not surprise me at all out of this administration.
Who was the... Bhutto.
Have you seen
the
rules
Bhutto,
of engagement for Afghanistan? Officers have to abide by.
Well, they have to give them, read them a verse out of the Quran and ask forgiveness before they can shoot them.
It's ridiculous.
I mean,
it is ridiculous.
Yeah, didn't we go through this with Vietnam? I mean, seriously.
Yep.
Well, no one ever told us to change our tactics.
Well, I don't know what else to say. But that's how I felt about that. That's how I feel about Holt. I can't.
Your government is siding with your enemies. What choice do you have left?
You know, here's a good idea. Why doesn't the government recommend that we pass anti-gun laws over in Afghanistan and Egypt and Syria?
Hey.
Just pass a gun ban. Make them illegal, and that, you know, that'll clear up
the
whole problem. The
whole idea. No, now you got me pissed off. The whole idea that Iran is going to have a say on our arms and weapons in our country is bullcrap.
Look, they're playing a damn game with this whole Iran, China, Russia, Syria thing. The whole Middle East, it's been a trap since the day it was started in 1948. I've been trying to tell everybody they're running a playbook, and I'm telling you, as sure as I'm sitting here, okay, and this is not to give excuse to the Muslim fanatics. This was calculated and planned, I guarantee it. The whole reason that they wanted to institute the United States and Russia, the United Nations, the whole fabrication of the UN was to bring us to the point we're at today. And the whole purpose of recreating the nation state of Israel in the midst of the Middle East was to put a thirsty tick on the back of a rabid dog.
Well, you know what, Ron? You're right.
The hornet's nest, and it's all part of the damn plan. There's a reason that Syria is at stake right now and not a year ago, 2 years ago. Go into your Bible, listen to the people that are preaching the futurist doctrine. They believe that Syria has to be wiped out and be a city no more, even though that's Isaiah, and it was talking about the exile into Babylon. Doesn't matter, because people have been sold that the whole thing has been wrapped up in a nice little package with a bow on it.
Yep.
Guys, we got a minute and a half.
I got to run. God bless. Thanks for letting me call in.
I hope to see as many as I can this Friday at Delaney Creek.
Absolutely.
Love you all.
Dave. Love you.
Keep the
life
going. And we got 3 days. I'll see you then.
I'll be thinking about you guys.
Okay,
you'll be there in spirit.
Stay safe.
Good night, America.
Don't let a boar hit you, okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, Blog Talk Radio signing off for another Tuesday. We have many radio shows. Come join us at PatriotFamilies.com with a YS. We'd be grateful to have you. And please come and share and join in. We'd love to have you. Good night, all.